The title for this conference is Solidarity with the World. Besides the task of relating in love with other individuals, there is a fourth task necessary for individuation and maturity. It is called by Jung solidarity. This fourth task of life has to do with all of our relationships with the world. Now, the world has many different meanings. We can think of at least five different concepts that would be included in the world. First of all, and primarily, when we think of solidarity with the world, we are thinking of the human race and all the different groupings of the human race to which we belong. In other words, the different communities of which we are a member. To experience this fourth task of solidarity means that we need to overcome our fear of these different groupings of the human race and succeed in entering into what Jung calls an I-we relationship with these different communities, and so that we feel united with them and not apart from them. And that's the meaning of solidarity, oneness with all of these other people of the world. In that sense, it's a realization that we are all brothers and sisters of the same family, that we have the same Heavenly Father, the same Jesus Christ as our Savior. A second concept of the world would refer to the physical universe, the whole of God's creation. And again, to experience this fourth task of solidarity means to experience a oneness with the whole of creation. And that is summed up in the word creatureliness, to become aware that we are creatures along with the rest of the created universe. A third way of understanding this term world would be simply to think of it as our planet, as this earth. And then there is a fourth way that is used particularly in the epistles of Paul, and that has some reference here to this whole idea of solidarity. It is what in the Greek Paul calls the sarx, S-A-R-X. And this is usually translated into English as the flesh. But actually it means all of those things of this world insofar as they are under the influence or the dominion of cosmic evil forces and thus pose a threat to us. A part of the Christian myth, we could say, a part actually of the teaching of the Gospels and the New Testament, is that in some way the things of this world have come under the dominion of Satan, or these cosmic evil forces, and that this is where, in a very special way, these cosmic evil forces dwell. So this aspect of the world poses a threat to us, and we must learn how to relate to this particular aspect so that it does not harm us, but that we're able to transform its energy into love. And finally, a fifth way of thinking of this term world is to think of this as our whole relationship with the things of this earth. In other words, our whole secular life. And that would include money and property, our job, possessions, politics, economy, our whole culture, both our work environment as well as our entertainment and recreation, family life, sex, marriage. All of these secular activities and these secular interests and things that we call simply the world. Just as in the other three tasks, the problem is to overcome a fear of the world and to replace it with a proper love of the world. This is the task that solidarity with the world is supposed to bring about. Actually, there is a legitimate fear of the world when we are thinking of it in terms of the SARCs. But we must also have a proper love of the world as God's creation, that anything God makes is good, and that we need to recognize that the creation in itself is good and it's worthy of our respect and love. But we can say that the world, like ourselves, is a mixture of good and evil. And we need to be on our guard against the evil that is present in the world, and that would be especially the SARCs. But we must at the same time not have an excessive fear of the world, but learn how to be united with the world and to make use of the world in carrying out our particular destiny here on earth. According to Jung, God has provided us with certain archetypes in the collective unconscious that enable us to deal effectively and properly with the world in all five of its dimensions. These archetypes are called the community archetypes, and it is the task of this fourth dimension of individuation to activate these archetypes. In other words, to go down into the unconscious and get a hold of these different community archetypes and to bring them up into consciousness and to make them available, which means to spend time training them so that they are effective in helping us to relate to the world and relate properly to the different aspects of the world. When we make contact with these community archetypes in the collective unconscious, we are thereby making contact with the wisdom and experience of all past generations of human beings who have ever lived on this planet and have had to deal with the same challenges and the same problems that face us when we deal with these different aspects of the world. And so there is deposited in the collective unconscious or the objective psyche, all of this wisdom and experience. When we succeed in activating these community archetypes and bring them up into consciousness and train them, make use of them, then we have available to us this tremendous inheritance of the wisdom and experience of the whole past history of the human race. In order to appreciate the importance of this fourth task of individuation, namely solidarity with the world, we need only to reflect for a moment on the fact that the majority of the things that we do during our life on earth have to do with the things of this world, with one or the other of those five different aspects of the world. Perhaps as much as 90% of our life on earth is dealing with these various parts of the world. And so we need very much to activate the necessary archetypes from the unconscious to enable us to relate with love and respect for all that is good in the world. According to Jung, the quality that will best enable us to relate properly to the world and to have good I-we encounters of love with the world is what Jung calls creatureliness. And by this he means a realization of our limitations as creatures and our need to depend not only on God, but the need of dependence upon other human beings if we are ever to reach that fullness of maturity or individuation that God destines for us. In other words, we need the world and the world needs us. We need the world in order to fulfill our God-given destiny. And the world needs us. It is our field of labor to which we have been assigned by God during this present life on earth. And so, God wants there to be a partnership between the world and ourselves, a love relationship whereby we go out in love and help to the different aspects of the world, and the world in turn we are able to allow it to help us fulfill our destiny. According to Jung, there are two methods especially that help us to develop this quality of creatureliness. The first of them is what he calls situations of need and help, and the second one is situations of guilt. By situations of need and help, Jung refers to all of those occasions in our life where we are very, very conscious of our own need of help from others. We are very, very much aware that we cannot do it alone, that we need not only help from God, but that we depend upon our fellow human beings, and if they do not come to our aid, and this is particularly true of the different communities, the different groupings to which we belong, that we need their help, and without them, we simply cannot carry out our destiny and have a full life. So this would be a situation of need, where we go out to the world, to others, to get the necessary help to enable us to carry out our particular destiny. On the other hand, there are situations where other people need us, and where we realize that unless we had been there to help them, that they would not have been able to have accomplished the good that happened. Jung gives an example of this. He said, you could imagine a person that happens to be walking along a body of water, let's say a lake, and he hears the cries of a man that is drowning out in the lake. And this is a perfect stranger, never knew before. Immediately, our heart goes out to that person. And even though it's a person that has not been familiar with us as a friend in the past, we are willing to risk our lives very often. It's just something that happens automatically, and go out to rescue that person, because that is a fellow human being that is in need. And he says, once it is over, there takes place a tremendous experience or feeling of oneness between the victim that has been saved and the rescuer. We, of course, see something of this same phenomenon of need and help whenever there is an earthquake or any other natural disaster in any part of the world. Even though these are total strangers to us, there is this just natural inclination on the part of all of us to go out in aid to that person. And through our willingness to sacrifice ourselves for them, there takes place a bond of union, a tremendous I-we encounter. I can think of instances in the area of Albemarle County when there were floods and when people, particularly the Mennonites, came down from Pennsylvania and spent many, many days cleaning up the houses that were had been filled with mud from the flood. And as a result, there was a tremendous bond of unity that took place between the victims and the rescuers. This would be an example of need and help that brings about this unity, this solidarity that we need to experience with all the rest of the members of the human race. The second way by which Jung says we come to a realization of solidarity is through the situation of guilt. And he refers particularly to a situation where some harm has been done to another person that is irreparable, that it's impossible now to repair it. An example of this would be, suppose you were driving a car along a road and perhaps were driving faster than you should, beyond the speed limit. And suddenly a small child runs out in the road ahead of you, and you run over that child and kill the child. You realize that you have done harm that cannot be repaired. You cannot bring back the life of that child. You realize also that it was partly your fault. You feel guilt because you know that you were driving recklessly or driving too fast, and therefore that it was due to this fault on your part that the child was killed. If you had been driving, let's say, properly within the speed limit, that you would have been able to stop and not have run over the child. Well, this feeling of guilt that overtakes a person in such an instance, according to Jung, this results in a sense of unity with the whole human race. No longer do you feel superior to the rest of the people of the world, but suddenly you realize that we are all sinners. We are all a part of the same situation where we are dependent on the mercy and the forgiveness of, first of all, of God, and then of our fellow human beings if we are to become a part of this human race. The task of developing this solidarity with the human race is a task that we need to work at all of our life. Although usually the perfection of this fourth task of solidarity is one that takes place at the end of adulthood rather than at the beginning. But we need to learn good community relations from the first time that we become a part of, let's say, the group of a family, if you live in a large family, and especially when the child enters school. There is always a crisis, or nearly always, as the child learns how to become a part of that group, of the class to which one belongs. There is a close relationship between the I-thou relationships of love and the I-we relationships. In other words, if we gain a proficiency in the individual I-thou relationships of love, this makes it much easier to have good I-we encounters of love with the groups to which we belong. And then in middle age, and as we approach retirement, a new need arises. In other words, we need to find groups to whom we can entrust the forward progress of the world after our retirement. And we must therefore be willing to step back and confide and entrust others to carry on the things that we have begun. In order to do this, we must learn to work as a team. Instead of seeing others as rivals, we must learn to see them as partners. And so, through the community of our relationship with other people, we find that we can accomplish so much more than what we could do alone. There are, of course, certain people who are lone wolves, who try to do it all by themselves. And we know that they are a failure, that they do not really accomplish nearly as much as what they could if they were good at relating to the various communities to which they belong. So realizing that alone we are unable to accomplish all the worthwhile objectives that perhaps we set for ourselves when we were younger, in later middle age, we turn with confidence to other human beings and entrust the future to them. To do this, we must see them as our equals. We must realize our mutual need and help situation, our dependence upon one another. To attain good community relationships, we need to have many adult experiences of this need and help, their need of us and our need of them. And only gradually, through these mature experiences of our dependence upon one another, our creatureliness, that we come to experience that universal brotherhood and sisterhood or universal solidarity of the human race. Advancing age and mature relationships of love can usually bring us then to this point of putting our confidence in the groups to which we belong, and thus we are able to remain optimistic about the future. Whereas if we lack this sense of solidarity, we become very pessimistic about the future, because we'll not be there any longer. And if we think it all depends on us, if we lack this solidarity, then we feel that as we approach death, it's going to be the end of everything. The truly mature person is able to share with the whole community all that one has learned, all of one's hopes and all of one's dreams, all of one's wisdom. One is not selfish about one's accomplishment, but realizes that without the help of the community, without the rest of the group, one could never have accomplished the things that was done. As one grows in solidarity, one begins to use the term we much more often than I, realizing that it is only as a part of a group that we really can succeed in accomplishing our goal in life. Fear of the world is now replaced by faith and trust in the world. Fear of other human beings is now replaced with love and trust in other human beings. According to Jung, there is a variety of community archetypes that we need to bring into consciousness in order to help us deal with the many different relationships required of us in community life. Some examples of these community archetypes would be brother, sister, friend, enemy, traitor, neighbor, stranger, king, priest, buyer, seller, partner, competitor, merchant, seaman, child, parent, husband, wife, companion, colleague, warrior, hero, heroine, uncle, aunt, grandfather, grandmother, and so on. As Jung understood these community archetypes, they were the patterns of behavior developed over hundreds of thousands of years by the combined experience of all the past generations of human beings that have ever lived. None of this wisdom and experience of the past is ever lost, but is deposited in the objective psyche, or the collective unconscious of the human race. And each one of us has contact with this objective psyche. This wisdom and these experiences are now available to each one of us, provided we succeed in making contact with our unconscious and discovering there these patterns of behavior, these archetypes, and then bringing them into consciousness and putting them into practice in our conscious daily life. Unconsciously, each of us desires to be like God. We long for independence and self-assertion. Therefore, we often resent the confinement and limitations placed upon our behavior by having to live in community. We dislike being just one among many. In times of need and loneliness, we appreciate the community, but at other times, it hangs like a yoke around our neck. It seems to hinder our personal development. We tire of the competition that plagues us from fellow members of the community who seem to have greater talents or have obtained greater advantages than ourselves. Nevertheless, once we have developed and actualized in our conscious life these different community archetypes, we are able to balance up this desire to do things by ourselves with this fourth step of this sense of solidarity and oneness with the whole human race. Jung says that it is especially after we have had an experience of guilt, where we have hurt another member of the community in a way that cannot be repaired. We are suddenly filled with despair at the realization of our inability to remedy the mistake. But instead of losing faith or giving up, very often we suddenly find ourselves filled with a deep compassion for all other human beings who have likewise experienced guilt. We can now better appreciate the sufferings of our fellow human beings. We realize that we're all in need of salvation and redemption. And so we no longer feel alone and isolated. No longer are we able to look down on others from an attitude of false superiority. Rather, we have been introduced into one of the basic secrets of all mankind, namely our universal need of help. Realizing then that we're all brothers and sisters, we are now ready to help them as a fellow traveler. We have now made contact with the basic foundation of mankind, namely our creatureliness. And so we are now ready to join this universal brotherhood and sisterhood for the service and worship of God and the service of one another. Such an experience of solidarity is especially needed in the modern world. With all the conflicts that are threatening to tear apart the human community today, with the threat of nuclear war that hangs over us, it's really a matter of survival that the different nations and the different races and the different groups of people throughout the world remedy their differences and be willing to become members of a one world community. This is the end of the conference on solidarity of the world.